Fortnite wants to add bot players, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadget here, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hope you enjoyed the show today, but be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be notified of when new episodes come out. We do this every weekday around here, and if you enjoy the content, please share this with a friend. That's the only way that this show grows and more people find out about the latest happenings in the tech world. Speaking of which, today's feature lineup, our feature story is, well, Fortnite is adding bots to give new players a fighting chance. I can just imagine how the comment section is going to be like after this, not only on the YouTube video, but also on Twitter. We're also going to be taking a look at Facebook acquiring neural interface startup Control Labs for its mind reading wristband. Kind of interesting. We'll also be taking a look at, well, after a 5-month delay, the $2,000 Galaxy Fold arrives in the US on Friday. And finally, we'll be taking a look at Arkham's Origin Studio teases a new Batman game. And, fresh off the weekend of the 80th anniversary of, you know, celebrating Batman and everything Batman, and Fortnite having their Batman themed map and upgrades and updates and items, everything going on there. It only seems fitting that more Batman news should come in. But, you know, with that, I can almost guarantee you that we'll probably be hearing something about maybe Joker or Mark Hamill. Guaranteed. So, before we can get into today's show, let's take a look back on Today in Tech History. All right, today is September 23rd, 2019. On this day in history, in 2008, Google and T-Mobile introduced the T-Mobile G1, also known as the HTC Dream, the world's first Android-based smartphone. By raw sales numbers, today Android is the world's most popular smartphone platform. And ironically, I even remember that. That was by far the coolest gadget that came out at that time. And well, it's a decade since then, and a year, so quite a number of years have gone by since then. Can you imagine the technology back then to now? Leaps and bounds. Also on this day in 1785, George Schutz, who with his son built a commercially available calculator based on Charles Babbage's difference engine, is born in Stockholm. After reading about the difference engine in 1833, Schutz and his son Edvard worked on a version that could process 15-digit numbers and calculate using fourth-order differences. If you have no idea what that means, it was kind of important back at the time. And still was in the progress of getting computers and machines and stuff to think and calculate and do stuff for us. The result won the gold medal at the Paris Exhibition in 1855 and was used by the Dudley Observatory in New York to calculate a few tables. A second copy was used by the British Registrar General to calculate tables for the developing life insurance industry. See, I guess that's where that industry had its roots in, right? Calculating in numbers. Well, with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. Now, in case you're excited like me and you're watching today's video, if you're not, what are you doing? Head on over to youtube.com/technewsgadget and you can actually see my raw emotion as I'm reading today's story. Or you can just listen to it on a podcast on a go. It doesn't matter. Fortnite is apparently adding bots to give new players a fighting chance. Now, the next time you boot up Fortnite, not all of your opponents may turn out to be human. Starting next season, the game will introduce bots to online matchmaking. Developer Epic Games says that the game's AI opponents will behave similarly to normal players and will help provide a better path for players to grow in skill. The studio adds that individuals won't encounter bots when they queue for one of Fortnite's competitive playlists. However, as you get better at the game, you'll also see fewer matches of them in your matches. Because obviously they figure you're scaling up in skill, and I think they can generally figure out and have a good understanding of where you are in the game. So it's not too difficult to go, well, he's better at the game, so don't have any bots in there. And if you've been playing it long enough and you feel confident enough, I guarantee you, you're probably not playing against bots. But I guarantee you this elicited a response from Ninja, who probably said something along the lines of, I thought I was shooting bots this whole time. Beats me. Like the Brute Mechs Epic introduced this past summer, the announcement already is causing controversy among the game's most passionate fans. In a way, however, bots are a more elegant solution to Epic's stated goal of creating an experience where anyone can win. Unlike the Brute Mech, you won't encounter bots if you're a skilled player. Alongside adding bots, Epic says it's tweaking how matchmaking works. Moving forward, you'll likely be matched against other players of similar skill. Finally, why do we have to wait so stinking long? Both features will launch with Fortnite's 10.4 update later this week. The studio plans to roll out the tweaked matchmaking system slowly so that it can monitor how it performs before it rolls it out completely. To which I say, took you guys long enough. Why do I have to wait till season 10? Why? There's no reason. I mean, guys, come on. Even League figured this out early on. Match people based on their skill and then let it scale and grow up from there. Well, I know it's still in the early stages of probably figuring some stuff out, and they guaranteed weren't expecting this gargantuan peak in popularity. So I guess it's understandable to some point, but what do you guys think? More importantly, let me know down in the comments section if you're watching via YouTube. This is available as a video on YouTube, or if you're listening via the podcast on Twitter at Tech News Gadget. I, for one, what are my thoughts? Why not? I mean, if it turns out I suck at the game and I need to play against bots to level myself up, I don't mind. I mean, I guarantee you it's going to help me figure out how to crank 90s easier, how to build to defend myself faster, know what to do in a certain situation better, and be able to handle myself in a firefight without losing my cool, without actually worrying. Well, then again, we're probably never going to know if it was a bot or not. And if it is, well, great. And if it isn't, well, I got beat by a bot. So then maybe that'll push me to perform a little bit better. But obviously, you know, as with most people, there is a learning curve to playing Fortnite, but if you play it long enough and you're playing it purposely with intent and you bought Ninja's book on how to play Fortnite and you're actually reading it and understanding it and applying it and practicing, I guarantee you, you're not even going to see a bot in the game. Heck, you might not even see a mech in the game. You want to know why? Because you're good enough to play alongside everybody else of that skill level and or higher. So I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, that's how they level you up in playing League of Legends anyways. When you first start out, you play against bots. And as you play, and as you progress, the bots get harder and harder and harder until it goes, okay, figure you're good enough at a baseline starting off point. And then when you jump into the league of, well, not the league, into the pool of where everybody else is, then you start swimming out around and figuring out where you wind up. And if you wind up at the bottom, you can climb your way to the top. Well, then great for you. And if you wind up at the top and you stay at the top, well, then great for you. And if you happen to fluctuate all over the place, well, maybe you should double check your playstyle and figure out what the heck you're doing and practice with intent to improve your gameplay style to help prevent all that bouncing around. But then again, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys already know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, as for the whole matchmaking with skill, I like it. That's actually one update I'm looking forward to. I can't wait to actually be in a game with a bunch of other people who are just as bad as I am. And then I can say, see, turns out I didn't suck as much as I thought I did. And I didn't get shot and killed by Ninja or Myth or Tim the Tatman or any of those guys. You know, I suck. I'm a bad player. I'm low skill. Namely because I don't play it that much, but it's okay. To each their own. That's all I got to say on that. With that, let's head on over to today's next story. Alright, well, Facebook acquires a neural interface startup called Control Labs for its mind-reading wristband. The deal is reportedly worth $1 billion. This is kind of nuts, and if you guys think this is nuts as well and you want to read the article for yourself, head on over to technewsgadget.net, and we have all the article links for today's show and any past show for you to read at your leisure. Facebook today announced that it will acquire Neural Interface Startup Control Labs, a company that makes a wristband capable of transmitting electrical signals from the brain into computer input. The deal, which CNBC reports is worth around $1 billion, is the most substantial acquisition Facebook has made in the last half decade, since it paid $2 billion to acquire virtual reality company Oculus VR in 2014. It also marks a substantial increase in investment in Facebook's growing hardware ambitions, as the Control Labs tech will be put to use in future augmented and virtual reality projects at the social network. Andrew Bosworth, the head of AR and VR at Facebook, made the announcement on his personal Facebook page this evening. Bosworth said Control Labs, which was co-founded by Internet Explorer creator and neuroscientist Thomas Reardon, will be joining our Facebook Reality Labs team, where we hope to build this kind of technology at scale and get it into consumer products faster. Patrick Kaifosh is the other co-founder, and he's a neuroscientist. Reardon, the company's CEO, left his career in e-software engineering to study neuroscience and received his PhD in 2016, which is quite impressive. The company was founded the year prior and has since raised $67 million in venture capital. Just in case you're wondering, whoa, this is a startup that wasn't valued at maybe like much more than like $1 million or like a, you know, six figures, right? No, more than that. In an interesting twist, Control Labs purchased a series of patents earlier this year around the Mayo armband, adjuster, and motion control device developed by North, formerly known as Thalmic Labs. So, it now appears the technology North developed may in some way make its way into a Focal's competitor by way of Control Labs. And they're going to go, oh, dang it, we lost it again. Facebook has more AI stuff and things going on. I don't know, what are they going to do with this wristband? I don't know. If you got your best guess, let me know down in the comments. I actually don't know what they plan on doing, but it's definitely promising, and I wanted to bring this to your attention just so in case we go down the road and then you say, hey, why did Facebook come out with this piece of hardware or this technology or this product offering? Where'd they get that from? Well, you could say you heard it here first, folks, on the Latest in Tech News podcast. See, this is why you tune into the show every day as much as possible. Okay, see, oh, I know, right now you're probably going to say, well, Taylor, if you do this every single weekday and just stop taking a break every so once in a while and actually did this, please, by all means, let me know. I know I'm talking to a group of people, many who are interested in hearing of the latest tech news, but I always appreciate hearing from you guys. So if you could leave a comment and say, hey, Taylor, where's the show today? Or, hey, love the show today. Or however you want to get in touch on Twitter, usually I'm the most active there and listening. We are at Tech News Gadget on Twitter. Just reach out and say, hey, where's today's show? Guaranteed you get a show today. If I wasn't planning on doing one, you can guarantee I'll get you a show. So, okay, enough about me. Let's get on. See, your fault you got me off on the rabbit trail. Let's move on to the next story, shall we? All right. We finally have an announcement to make in the gadget news, except it's not really. After a five-month delay, the $2,000 Galaxy Fold arrives in the U.S. on Friday. So 5 months of investigation and fixes later, the Galaxy Fold is finally ready to enter retail. And here are the photos. Just a refresher course. Here's what's different about this one, and here's how the old one looked like, here's how the new one looks like. Some things have been redesigned, the shape of the spine and hinge is different now. They're also adding additional metal layers to help it out. I also had to unfortunately kill several rolls of pixels so that they could figure out how to not have something be pressing against the backside of the screen, and a bunch of other things go on. Oh, speaking of, apparently Steve Kovach of CNBC, when he was reviewing it, had his Galaxy Fold die right along the display crease, so you could only see half the screen. So this is turning out wonderful so far. For crying out loud. The Galaxy Fold is finally launching in the United States this Friday. After a launch failure the company's CEO called embarrassing, Samsung's futuristic foldable smartphone will come to the U.S. after a five-month delay. The company made the news official in a press release earlier today. The Galaxy Fold was supposed to be a triumph of Samsung engineering, yada yada yada. The idea was a phone with a flexible OLED display stretched over top of a hinge, allowing the phone to actually fold in half. The device would be smartphone sized when you wanted a phone and a tablet when you wanted a bigger device. So then the problems were, as you can see on the screen here, when the early people came and picked it up, they accidentally snapped it and broke it. It was unusable a couple of days in. One of them had their review unit die on one half of the screen and was still usable on the other half of the screen. It was weird. So Samsung took the device back to the drawing board, and after a few tweaks, it thinks the Fold is now ready for the general market. Now, while Samsung is the undisputed king of sales and distribution in the Android world, the Galaxy Fold does not sound like it will be widely available. First, AT&T will be the only carrier supporting this relaunch. Both Verizon and Sprint have never opted to carry the Galaxy Fold, and T-Mobile, which was originally scheduled to carry the device, dropped out after durability issues cropped up. So, if you're interested, two versions of the phone will be out there, an AT&T version and an unlocked version, which you can still bring to whichever carrier you want. Samsung's press release says that the phone will be available at select AT&T stores, select Best Buy stores, and Samsung Experience Store retail locations. After reaching out to Samsung, we were told the phone would be sold online at att.com and bestbuy.com as well, but it seems like Samsung will not be selling the phone directly on its website. But if you do actually choose to spend nearly $2,000 on the Galaxy Fold, you'll have access to Galaxy Fold Premier Service, which Samsung's press release describes as an elevated concierge experience to help you explore and grow accustomed to this sophisticated technology. The release continues, with Galaxy Fold Premier Service, you will have the opportunity to consult with a Fold concierge who will walk you through the Galaxy Fold, the inbox materials, and the included accessories. In addition to doing some basic setup tasks for you, your Fold concierge will demonstrate how to use the Galaxy Fold's key features and will guide you on how to take care of your new device. So, if you're interested, $2,000. Here's the only hang-up. Durability is currently an issue, but flexible glass covers should help alleviate that in a few years. And if you're still worried about the sky-high price, it is an issue, but again, that's something that the March of Technology can solve with some time. Probably it's going to take a couple years or so, but soon we'll have something durable, something competitive, something, I don't know, worthy of, you know, being called a foldable phone, because all the bugs have been ironed out. So, be that as it may, it's finally out, it's finally there, available for you to purchase starting Friday. And last piece of news that we got for you guys today, Arkham Origins Studio teases a new Batman game, and I got the video of it. Now, it's not very long, and I will have it up on YouTube for you guys to watch if you're interested, youtube.com/technewsgadget. After a four-year hiatus, it looks like a new Batman Arkham game is on the way. On Monday, the official Twitter account for WB Games Montreal, the developer of Batman Arkham Origins, carried a cryptic six-second video that I'm going to play for you right now. Let's see. And go. What does it mean? Now, in case you're listening, the teaser shows six different symbols in the style of the bat signal. Prior to Sunday, the account hadn't tweeted since 2015, the year the most recent game in a franchise, Batman Arkham Knight, came out. Fans are speculating the teaser suggests a new Arkham game is on its way, where Batman will have to take on Ra's al Ghul and the Court of Owls. If you've watched Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins, you might be familiar with Liam Neeson's take on the villain, although I'd really expect you guys to like be familiar with the comics or the animated series or some form of Batman to some extent so that you could understand Ra's al Ghul. He leads a band of assassins. The Court of Owls, meanwhile, are a newer addition to the Batman mythology. They're a secret society that controls Gotham City from the sidelines. While we don't know when we'll learn more about the game, one possibility is that Sony might announce the title during its State of Play broadcast on September 24th. That's tomorrow, if you're listening to this right now as it's released, or otherwise, since I know most of you picked this show up the next day, the State of Play broadcast will be today. To date, the Arkham series has included four mainline entries: Arkham Asylum in 2009, Arkham City in 2011, Arkham Origins in 2013, and Arkham Knight in 2015. With the exception of Origins, the three other games were developed by Rocksteady Studios. Together, the four titles are among some of the best games that you can play on the current and previous generation of consoles, not to mention PC. So, definitely exciting news. Oh, I'm a fan of all of the games. All of Arkham, any of the games. I love them. I've played every single one of them multiple times. I haven't unlocked 100% and done all the stupid Riddler clues and jokes and stuff, but I've gotten pretty darn close. I love playing the game. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It stands right up there with Shadow of Mordor and at least one other game. What is that? I don't know. I forgot. But yeah, I only have a handful of games that are like among my top favorite, and those are the only ones that I really play. So, I'm excited. Are you guys excited? Let me know down in the comments section. I'd love to hear if you're another Batman fanatic. I know I am. bats, you never cease to amaze me. Well, I think that about covers it up. Unless there's anything you wanted to add, feel free to send me a message on Twitter. We are at TechNewsGadget. And with that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in. New episodes every weekday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. And if you enjoyed the episode, be sure to, additionally, share this episode with a friend. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.
I love Batman.